Chapter 4 this morning. First Timothy chapter 4. I was gone from here on Sundays for 2 weeks, and before that we were talking about ministering spirits from Hebrews chapter 1, talking about the Lord's angels, a little bit about the devil and his angels, and we will get back to that this morning. I am going to preach along the same lines. Let's read, let me go ahead and pray and ask God to bless the message, and then we'll read verse 1. We'll read quite a few verses. Maybe we'll read the whole chapter. We'll just see how that goes. Lord, we thank you, God, for your goodness and your grace. And Lord, we thank you for the Bible. We thank you for your goodness and grace that you would give us instruction as hard-hearted as we are, as hard-headed as we are. We pray, oh God, that you would open the word to us. And God, forgive us when we are hard-headed. Allow us to take advantage of the mercy that you've given us while you give it to us. Many times we think we know, and we have assurance kind of falsely from an intellectual standpoint, but we really don't spend the time that's necessary in the Bible to be very sure. And I pray, God, you'd help us this morning to spend a little time in your word, to go home, spend time in your word during the week, God, to spend time in your word to read and to pray about what we're reading. And Lord, we will thank you and praise you for all that you will reveal to us. And Lord, whatever it is that you reveal to us, use it to instruct us, not just to pump up our heads, but to instruct us and guide us. And Lord, help us to take advantage of the divine nature that you've so freely given to us, free for us, God, but it costs you so much. And Lord, we thank you and praise you for all that you have done. And Lord, all that you will do, God, get glory and honor to yourself today. Lord, I pray you'd not let us spend the day in vain. I pray you'd not let this just be a routine, but Lord, that you would do something for your people that have come out here today. And Lord, I recognize that takes the mindset to receive on our part. Lord, help us, Lord, now to set aside earthly things, Lord, and look into your word and desire something from you. And I'll thank you for all that you do. In Jesus Christ's name we pray it. Amen. Amen. All right. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 1. It says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with the hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and that which is to come." So verse number 1 and verse number 8 really going to be the emphasis this morning. And we'll try to use the whole chapter as much as we can to get that across. But going back up to verse number 1 and just reminding you, I have been talking about, in a sense, spirits. When you're talking about angels, you are talking about spirits. Hebrews 1 said, "Who maketh his angels spirits." And so that's what we have been talking about. But this morning he says, "The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits." Now this is not just talking about the world. This is talking about somebody that had faith. They shall depart from the faith. Now you can talk about mankind as a whole if you want to, but I don't know that mankind as a whole has ever been joined too closely to the Spirit. Do you? And so the only person that I know that of the faith, I should say, it says some shall depart from the faith. Now I don't know if you realize it or not, but you can't depart from the faith. unless you've been there. You can't leave this church building unless you're here. And some of you here and you're not here. Amen. And some of you won't be here until about time to, you'll perk up once that big hand gets towards the, you know, whatever time we use to get out of here. I can't see the clock too good, but whatever time that is, you'll start to liven up. Oh, time to go home and eat. Time to go home and watch the Washington NFL football team. Whatever time that works out to be, that's when people begin to wake up. Amen? And talk about interrupting spirits and they'll show up. Amen? But at any rate, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So we're talking about people departing from the faith, not people that are ignorant of the faith, not people that are necessarily lost, although you could look at this in a broad general sense if you wanted to. As we get closer to the coming of the Lord, people do become less spiritual as far as the faith is concerned, and they become more in tune and in line with the spirit of this world. Now, when this says seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, you naturally start thinking about demons and you begin to think about stuff like that. Well, it says doctrines of devils right there in the verse. But that's not exactly what it says, and I wouldn't exclude it, but that's not exactly what it says. And sometimes I think people are more interested in dead things than they are live things. I think people are more interested than in a departed spirit. Of course, if they're departed, what are they doing hanging around? Amen? And when I die, I certainly ain't hanging around here. Amen? But at any rate, what I'm trying to get across to you is I think people have a fascination with death. The Bible says that Israel had a contract with death. They had a contract with deadly, destructive, foolish things. The Lord had to break that. The Lord is going to break that. But at any rate, he says they'll depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. And so I recommend to you that you have a dictionary. And that even if you know what a thing is, look it up anyway. Because it'll shed a lot of light on things, because we mostly know our English words by just learning to talk as a third grader. And really, we really did. We learned certain words meant certain things. I can say this group of words and get fed. I can say this group of words and get people to leave me alone. I can say this group of words and probably a lie, but make people like me better. If you tell the truth, people are not going to like you very good. But at any rate, we learn stuff by just usage rather than looking it up and see what's involved in it. But if you'll look up some words, not that the dictionary is inspired, except for the 1828, of course, you would think that's inspired. I looked it up in the 1828. Well, good for you. But I actually looked this one up on my computer. But I have the 1828 on my computer, so that's good. But at any rate, we look up the words and see what they mean, and sometimes it'll shed some light, because when it says seducing spirits, it's not necessarily talking about devils and demons and you know, Jason and Freddy Krueger and stuff like that. It's not talking about that. Not necessarily, and maybe not first and foremost. And you know, when I look up the word spirit and start reading the definition in a thorough, you don't have to have the 1828 dictionary. That's just fun for, you know, Ruckmanites. But at any rate, you look up the definition and in a good exhaustive dictionary, and the spirit world, like ghosts and goblins and demons, that definition is way down in the list before you run into stuff like that. But he says seducing spirits. And so when you look up the definition of spirits or spirit, the definition reads kind of like this: vigor of intellect. Well, what's it? Now, that doesn't have nothing to do with ghosts. Now, some of you are not interested anymore. That's true. And I'm going to keep emphasizing that, because you wouldn't believe how addicted this world is to death. And it's so addicted to death that anything, ghosts or goblins or anything like that, is going to get them all upset. It's going to get, and at the same time, interested. I wish Baptists were like that. I wish I could get you upset and at the same time interested. You get Baptists upset and they'll also be ready to leave. Oh, I'm done. I'm ready to quit. Well, you're a big sissy, that's why. Oops, I said that with a smile. But that's true, you're a big sissy. Oh, he said something I disagree with. I'm going to suck my thumb and go home and quit. Well, your wife needs to box your ears, that's what. If some man did it, it'd be a disadvantage, so. That's right. Men of this day and time are just a bunch of big sissies. Big sissies, you're just a sissy. Amen? You're welcome. That's true. That's absolute truth. Men get their feelings hurt. Oh, oh. Sissies. I think it's funny, really. I really do. Amen. I think sissies are funny. Amen. You should go out in the gym sometimes while men are out there playing games. Mm-hmm. That's right. I'd love to have a recorder in some of you guys' living rooms to see what happens when you don't get your way at home. If you lose your mind in public, like some people do, ain't no tellings what they're doing at home when they don't get their way. Amen? But you say, how do you know? Because of these seducing spirits right here, they're not necessarily ghosts. It's your spirit. Amen. You're the sucker haunting your house. Amen? That's right. That's right. That's exactly right. That's why people lose their mind. I mean, people lose their mind now if you're not wearing a mask. He's not wearing a mask. Me and Ruth went in the Salvation Army yesterday. That's good. That's a high-quality shopping right there. We're walking around in there, and I looked around, and I noticed I was the only one not in compliance. I looked around a little bit upset about it because people don't have that spirit of defiance anymore. Just lay down for the tyrants. But anyway, I started going, and just looking around. Troublemaker. You say, what is that? That's spirit. Amen. That's spirit. That's right. That definition, it's vigor of intellect. It's animal excitement. I don't care too much for the word animal excitement when you're talking about men because men are not animals. I let that sink in for you because I know they told you that for 12 years in high school. And if you went to college, you'll need an extra 30 or 40 seconds of pause there. Men are not animals. Well, homos, I'm not a homo of any kind. Amen? You be all the homos you want to be. I am a man. God made me a man. Amen? I was born this way. Well, you shouldn't be so stubborn. I was born this way. If that works for homosexual, it's going to work for me too. You shouldn't be angry. You shouldn't call people out. I was born this way. Is that a good enough excuse for them? Good enough excuse for me then. Amen? You shouldn't always disagree with people. Born this way. Amen? Wonderful. That's a great way to live. Amen? And then just forget what people think about that. Get some spirit about you. Amen? Some spirit to live your own life. That's what the definition is. It says excitement. One word by itself. Life. Did you know life was spirit? Sure it is. Courage. Wit. Vehemence of mind. Getting stirred up about some things. That's spirit. Of course, we're going to talk about these things in a negative light, but these things can be very positive as well. Did you know that depression was against life and it's a seducing spirit? You may have it. I've never had a problem with people saying they're depressed. Now, I know what depression is. I know what it's about. I know what it causes. But I also know this. Whatever it may be, you may think it's an illness and you may think you have it. But that is a seducing spirit. It certainly is. It's a spirit. It's your spirit predominantly. Could it be demonic? Absolutely, it could be. But it's predominantly your spirit being dissatisfied with the way things are. You say it's a sickness. All sin is sickness. Now you argue with it, all you want to argue with it, get mad because I hadn't agreed with your doctor's diagnosis if you want to, but go home and get in your Bible and get on your knees and get in touch with the Lord, and the joy of the Lord is your strength. And the fruit of the Spirit is joy. I don't care what the spirit of depression is, the fruit of the Spirit is joy. Amen? It's contentment. Amen? Now, you get mad if you want to, but if you ain't tried the way I'm telling you to try, then don't get mad at me. Amen? Because being a human being, I've dealt with depression just as much as you have. And I found that the answer to that is the joy of the Lord. It's not the joy of man. It's the joy of the Lord. That's the answer. Amen? Amen. Now, far too long have we let the maladies of the world, the illnesses of the world come in and steal the joy of the church. Well, I would be happy in the Lord, but I've got this pre-existing condition. Well, you were born with that pre-existing condition. That's why Jesus died on the cross. He bore our griefs. Amen? Now, the fact that you can't believe that and accept that and run after that is because you're selfish. Amen. And that's where a depressing spirit comes from, is selfishness. Well, I'm a great Christian. No, you're not. I'll just let you in on that right now. No, you're not. No, you're not. Brother Mike, surely you're a great Christian. No, I'm not. I'm a failure most of the time, as most of us are. But that doesn't change the truth. I could jump right in the pack with you and join you and say, I am as you are. But listen, I believe the book. The book is still true. Amen. You know, preachers get up, I'm not preaching against nothing no more because I'm just like you. That don't change nothing. Amen. It doesn't change anything. It just means it applies to all of us. Amen. God didn't say, you know, preach the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, unless except if you've never failed at anything or come short in anything. If you've come short, now don't preach, because that excludes Paul, Romans chapter 7. You're always talking about Romans chapter 7. Well, maybe you should read it, and you'd be talking about it more often. Amen, amen. You say, what is it? A seducing spirit. Amen. Vehemence of mind. Far down the list, you get far down the list before you get to spiritual spirits and demons and stuff like that. But let's look at it for just a few minutes. Now, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. Now, lying spirits. How about that one? And we're still talking about your spirit. You know who the biggest liar is in your life? Everybody got the point of that one already. I don't even have to say you, but there I just said it. It's you. The biggest liar in my life, Brother Heath, is me. Because you're going to talk yourself into your advantage. We were talking about that in the gym yesterday just a little bit. We were talking about guns and buying guns, and I said, look, I've bought Ruth a lot of guns that I could carry. Amen? A lot of guns that I can shoot. Amen? I try to make Monday range day and go to the range over at Brother Ken's house and try to help out too. If you go to somebody's house and use the facilities, try to help out, try to clean up and try to straighten up and stuff like that. But go over there and shoot. You say, what are you doing on Monday for? Stress relief. Mm-hmm. Brother so-and-so laid out Sunday morning. I guess y'all don't do stuff like that. Sister so-and-so didn't shake my hand on Sunday. Amen. You don't think preachers think like that, do you? But I woke up this morning thinking of a fellow that only comes here about maybe once every 6 months, and every time I say hi to him, he walks by me like, who do you think you are, you greasy little punk? But see, you can't just express those feelings in a church atmosphere. You don't go very far in helping people that way. So you just bear those things, bear your burdens and your crosses and all that sort of thing. And you take care of it on Monday, rains day. Amen. Amen. If you're not careful, those little things can become seducing spirits. Amen. Not only that, just as a good example, somebody could ignore you like that, and you could let that get under your skin so much that you want to please them and you want them to like you that you could start bending towards them. I want to be accepted is a seducing spirit. Amen. It really is. And it's a lying spirit. And that lying spirit is in every one of us. And we certainly do. You know, that vigor that was in the definition, the vigor of intellect, we want so much to be right. We want so much to be accepted. We want so much to be all these things that the world pushes on us that we'll see something and we'll lie to get it. Or we'll lie about who we are to gain the affections of others. Oh, if you've been in high school and had a sweetheart, you know about that. Amen? Do you like green beans? Yes. Do you like Chevrolets? Yes, absolutely. I like pickups, don't you? Yes, love pickups. You like motorcycles? Oh, yeah, love them. What's your favorite motorcycle? Pinto? No. That's not a motorcycle. But people would do that. People would do that in order to be accepted by the world. People will do and say anything, and it's all a big lie. Girls will get certain kind of boyfriends, and boys will get certain kind of girlfriends. Just not because they like the stooge, but just to look like they're accepted. Oh, you got to get the quarterback or got to get the main cheerleader. Why? You're going to find out you don't even like that person. It's a status thing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a lying spirit. I have known of folks, and hopefully this never happens. You got to pray and ask God to help you with this stuff in your own life and your own families. But sometimes girls get boyfriends just to make their dads mad. Yeah. That's a lying spirit, whether you know it or not, and it's yours. Yeah. I know my dad don't like this certain type of person. I'm going to go get a certain type of person. And once you're stuck with him, you're going to get exactly what you asked for. Right. Mm-hmm. Amen. Did you know when Esau and Jacob were growing up and as they were developing into who that they were, when Jacob got the blessing, you know what Esau done? He went and got himself a woman that he knew his mother and dad hated. Would you rather been in Esau's camp or Jacob's? Amen. And that sort of thing may seem small to you, but there is a whole culture of people living right over there in that part of this world today, and that's all that they do. They do things for spite. Amen? They do things just to aggravate their neighbors. The whole continent is filled with people like that, and it's a big thing over here, in case you didn't notice. Amen? Just doing things for spite. Things ain't going my way, so I'm going to tear things up. You say, what is it? It's a lying spirit. And it's a seducing spirit. So a lying, seducing spirit, it's just a spirit in your mind that you submit to, and it tells you everything you're thinking is right and everything you're doing is right. And it doesn't matter if somebody gives you chapter and verse. Oh, well, that's not the way I see it. That's not the way I see it. Hey, stop doing what you're doing. It's going to hurt you. It's going to turn out bad for you in the end. Well, that's not the way I see it. I memorized some verses too, and I've read the Bible too. Turns out bad every time. Every time, brother, every time that I've seen somebody go that route and listen to themselves. The worst thing in the world you could ever do is take counsel of yourself. It's the worst thing. The Bible says, and a multitude of counselors make war. If you don't recognize that this life is warfare, then you're sadly mistaken. You need to go back to third graders Sunday school, because this life is a warfare. And you being on your side is the worst ally that you could have. That's just true. It's a little bit funny and when you put it like that, but it's absolutely true. It's absolutely true. And there's a seducing spirit that's connected to learning. That pride of intellect, that was in the definition that I read. It's a seducing spirit. Well, I want you to know I've studied. I don't care. I don't care. I really do not care. How's that? I get that from time to time. Get up and preach and say something that folks don't disagree with. And it filters to me. It don't come directly to me. I don't know why. I only weigh like 100 pounds. You could come up here and cuss me out if you want to. There's not much I can do about it. Well, that you know of. But it say something that people disagree with and it filters to me. Well, Brother so-and-so pointed out this verse. He did? That's interesting. Number one question in my mind, why are you upset? There's a problem somewhere. Well, I studied. Mm-hmm. There it is. The seducing spirit that does people the most trouble is in their own head. Amen. It absolutely is. And learning is one of those things that is the most crippling of all. Because once you learn that you're not right, it's crippling. How did I miss that? How did I not see that? And all you got to do is read something by somebody smarter than you are to convince you of that sort of thing. The perfect example back in the Old Testament where people get this, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. All of a sudden, from that line, you've got the devil before he fell being above God's throne, covering God's throne like God needed a bodyguard. Or the throne needed protecting or something like that. Well, where's your proof for that? Thou art the anointed cherub that covered. Well, who said it? Clarence Larkin. Oh, that must be true. Well, he's smart. He's an expert. He's got a college degree. Well, so do the doctors who are telling you a cloth mask is going to stop microbiology. I don't care how many degrees you've got. A mask is not going to stop a virus. It's just not going to. In the Marine Corps, they had a biological warfare class, and they proved to you that a cloth mask will not stop anything. But anyway, you got a college degree, you know better. Amen. But you go back and look at that passage of Scripture, thou art the anointed cherub, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. Every statement, every description in that passage about the devil is past tense, except for one. Thou art, right now, this minute, the anointed cherub that covereth. And he's the God of this world that hides the light from the whole world. That's 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them. So what? They won't believe the gospel. He is a coverer of the truth. Amen? And he's a light bearer. He's Lucifer, but it's a false light. It's a light that puts people in darkness. How about that? Amen. But see, if you ask 95% of Baptists, what was the devil's job before he fell? Oh, he covered God's throne. Because you studied it. Is he still up there? Had he fallen by the time Ezekiel was written? Well, why say it in the present tense if that's the truth? You studied it, but you studied what somebody told you about it. Well, it must be true. But what that does, it pumps you up and primes you up when somebody disagrees. And it negates what you thought. So, oh, pride of intellect, that spirit, I'm smarter than anybody else in the room. No, you're not. That's why, listen, I'll go ahead and tell you for myself, and I won't speak for nobody else but myself, but the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 that God's not out looking for the smartest person in the room, the sharpest pencil in the drawer. He's looking for the not just common ordinary man, but the dumber of the crowd, so that The man doesn't get the glory. He gets the glory. And he's not going to be tempted by a seducing spirit to misuse his power, his glory, his wonder, his mighty attributes. You would be tempted to. Seducing spirit says, I've got this, I should use it. You better use it before you get 50 years old, because it goes away. Amen. But at any rate, folks giving heed to seducing spirits. Amen. And the spirit of the age, the spirit of the times, almost all of us are susceptible to that. I always marvel that in the 50s, every man on the planet put a pack of cigarettes in their sleeves and rolled it up. It's like 50s style. White t-shirt, leather jacket, you know, Fonzarelli. Hey. That coolness come in with Elvis. Amen? Worst thing that ever happened to this country. Amen? You don't get the Ice Cube and Eazy-E without Elvis. You don't get to Kurt Cobain and ZZ Top and Motley Crue and Metallica without Elvis. Oh, Elvis, he's just a good old boy. He ain't a good old boy. He's a reprobate. If he was your husband, you wouldn't think that way. You'd like to say, oh, Elvis, you're an idiot. Amen. You're a cotton-picking idiot. Amen. You let your husband do to you what he done to his wife and see how much you appreciate your husband. Amen. Amen. It ain't going to, you might love to hear him sing, but you wouldn't love to live with him. And if you wouldn't love to live with him, what you doing passing out when he walks by? Well, of course, he ain't walking nowhere now. But you know exactly what I mean, don't you? Amen. Matter of fact, you ought to conduct yourself a little bit better than that, ladies. You ain't talked to your husband in 3 weeks and swoon over one of these reprobates that can't be honest and true to their own wives, their own baby mama. Because that's all they got. That's all they got. You're welcome. You know what that makes you, don't you? Oh, Elvis. You know what that makes you, don't you? You're no better than the ladies that he's running around with behind his wife's back. You're welcome. You're welcome. Seducing spirit. And it's yours. Amen. Spirit of the age. Amen. I should just cut her off right there. Because I don't think I'm going to get much attention from here on out. But it's true. It's true. Amen. Men are the same way. I give you men a help. I gave it to you men pretty direct a couple weeks ago. So you ladies can take your medicine this morning. But the same thing goes for men. Amen. Amen. You're going to have to pray and ask God to forgive you of it and help you and change your heart about that thing. Amen. Look at some girl about this big around on TV. Oh, man, she's built just right. Well, your wife would be, too, if she hadn't bore you 14 or 15 kids. Thank you. That's right. Some of you men are just floozies. That's what I was driving out with the ladies a while ago. But Mama taught me to treat ladies kind of not a little nicer than that. But you men, bunch of floozies. The ladies got the point. I think some of your men are saying, what are you talking about? Yeah. Like I said, the fellas are still asleep this morning. Amen. Seducing spirits. We're talking about yours. Now, here I'll give you another example just of what a seducing spirit to you. And this is another teenage example. Fella sitting in class when he should be learning English. Amen. A lot of people that went to PBI had to learn English at PBI instead of the third grade. Amen. That's when they start teaching it, right along in there somewhere, I guess. I don't know. I didn't learn it either. But at any rate, you're supposed to be in class learning math, which I didn't learn, and English, which I didn't learn. And social studies, which I ignored on purpose because Dr. Ruckman said it was of the devil. And I was already connected to Dr. Ruckman at that time. Y'all ain't listening to this. I'm daydreaming. I'm using this class right here to daydream. Amen. So no social studies. But what you do study pretty hard in high school is girls. Yeah. And you see that one, boy, I got to have her. Ooh, she's the girl of my dreams. And it bothers you. Sometimes you're not able to sleep. Especially if she says she likes you for 3 or 4 days and then says she don't like you no more. Oh, go to bed and stay in bed for a week. Oh, my life is over. That's a seducing spirit. Amen. It's not love. That's love. No, it ain't. Amen. No, it ain't. Oh, I felt it. I know it is. If you felt it, it's probably not love. Because love is not a feeling. Amen. Now, I know that's not the way people live, and that's not the way people look at it. And I know you live inside of a great big Hallmark card. I know that's the way you live, but that's not the way things are. That's not love. For God so loved the world that he gave. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. It's something you can see. It's an action. Love is real. It's not feelings. Now, love causes a feeling. Sometimes that love feeling causes you. You got to repress those. Sister Anna, repress those. That's probably why Tommy's not here this morning. She probably choked him out. Choked him out this morning because love will do that to you. Amen? Hi, darling. But people go to bed for 3 weeks because some girl, oh, she don't love me no more. She don't love me. I'm talking about the boys. The boys. This is my impression of a boy, a teenage boy. I got that. And just like the devil says about man, all that he hath will he give for his life. Man, do that for a woman. Gotta have her, gotta have her, gotta. And put all your emphasis on, I gotta have that woman, I gotta have that kind of clothing, I gotta have that specific gun, which reminds me, we'll talk about that after church. Gotta have it, just gotta have it. Put all your mental, you wouldn't believe the amount of men that have left church and left God and left the service for the Lord and went off trying to chase some worldly thing. They probably came to church for a long time while they were in the process of doing it, but it was just something got in the back of their mind. I've got to have that fishing boat, or I've got to have that lifestyle. I've got to start doing, I've got to get that for myself. And chased it, and chased it, and chased it, and chased it, and all the while you were falling behind spiritually because you had a seducing spirit. I've got to have. And you know, I've been to that place myself in my own life where I thought, this is the thing that I must have. And it's usually in those times when you get by yourself and you're praying that the Lord says, now what, remember when you wanted that thing and see what you got now? You see the difference? And you say, what was it that was driving me? What was it that drove me so hard for that foolishness that I was chasing at whatever point in time in my life it was? And it's a seducing spirit. And it's not some devil, oh, a devil made me do it. No, you made you do it. You got it in your head and you chased it with all your might. The Bible says people do that for the world. Not only that, but the Bible says that people would do that for the world. And then when you get saved and washed and redeemed and justified, and when you get the Holy Spirit down in your heart that empowers you to do something real and right, you're supposed to give it that same spirit. You're supposed to go at it with that same spirit. They that worship the Lord must worship him in spirit and in truth. That's the Holy Spirit. Certainly it is. What if people got actually invested their own spirit? The thing that the Lord died for and bought and redeemed and established in you as a part of the divine nature. He just says, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, the patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, the brotherly kindness charity. Just add those things, and it's like putting a supercharger on your old V8 engine. Amen. A lot of you in this room, you've accomplished things in your life as far as you got a nice house, and you got a decent car, and you got a pretty decent wife and kids, we still got some questions about, But you've set your mind to some things and you've got some pretty neat stuff in this life. And what I don't know why you don't think that if you would actually put some of that to use for the Lord, that the Lord would use that vigor, like we read in the definition, that intellect, whatever little bit you might have, the life that you have, the ardor, the wit. Some of you got wit. Some of you are able to talk. Some of you are able to do, I mean, you've already proven in your regular life that you can figure stuff out and get things done. And if you just use it for something besides following a seducing spirit that's going to lead you on a wild goose chase, and I kind of wish we had the young people in here, because teenagers do it, and I think that's what's wrong with most of us adults. We learn how to chase that spirit that's our own during our teenage years and probably even before that, but we never get over it once we get adults. Amen. And some of the biggest distraction our teenagers are going to have over the next couple of years, just some of it's not even spirits, just hormones, just being people, biological creatures. We'll use the evolutionary term, amen. When you look at some of these teenagers and smell them, that's all they are, is biological creatures. Amen? If it wasn't for their poor little mamas and daddies, they wouldn't have made it this far. But not to hear them tell it. Amen. But at any rate, they got it all figured out. Know exactly what they want. And it's exactly the wrong thing. Amen. Amen. Now, there may be one or two exceptions in here where you married your first love and all that stuff. But some of you fellas and some of you ladies especially, think back to that crackhead you was looking at in high school. And just think if you'd have got married to that fool. Or foolette, whatever, him or her. What? I don't want to be discriminatory. Amen. I'll spread around the slurs this morning. But what did the Lord do for you? I mean, for the most part, except for one or two of you, some of you ladies I feel sorry for, but except for one or two of you, the Lord gave you a good wife and a good husband for the most part. And if you'd have got stuck with something else, it would have been bad, wouldn't it? But you think back now. You've already agreed with me. I heard it. Yes, sir. Heard it out loud. Now, you think back and think of the zeal and the seducing spirit, really. If he was the wrong one or she was the wrong one, you think back to the mentality that went with that. Gotta have it. Gotta have him. Gotta have him. Gotta have him. Seducing spirit. And that thing, you could probably think of something in your life right now, male or female, that you just gotta have. You're chasing it with all your might. It has nothing to do with the book of Genesis or Revelation or Romans or Ezekiel. It has nothing to do with church. It has nothing, and it has something to do. It has to do with pride. It has to do with intellect. It has to do with accomplishment. It has to do with achievement. And every bit of it's going to burn up in the end. It's not going to be what you think it is. What you think it is now, it's not going to turn out to be that way. And it's certainly not going to turn out to satisfy. And my wife is going to be glad that I admit it openly, but I can tell you this with all my heart. As a man, I have chased a lot of things and went out and spent the money on it. I need this. I need it. Gotta have it. Only to have purchased it and achieved it or acquired it, and it set on a shelf never to be used. Never to be used. One time I was really getting back into this, because you get about 45 and you realize you've only got a few more weeks to walk. I'm gonna reacquire all of my military gear, and I'm gonna be ready for World War III, and you know, when the zombies come. And so I bought this plate carrier, got bulletproof stuff in it. You know, I put it on, swung it over my head, went down to my knees. Put it on, tried it on, fitted it up, so if I ever needed it, I'd just have to throw it on. And then it sat in my closet for like 3 or 4 years. Had to have it. Got to have this right now. And just searched the internet till I found one. Oh, right there it is. Right? No, not today. I better not do it. Oh, I should have ordered it today. Wake up the next day. Oh, I'll order it. I'll order it, and I'll get forgiveness rather than permission, which I don't need permission. I'm in charge of my house. But that thing eats you up. And I know, listen, you might think that's funny, but I know you're going through something along those same lines. Just got to have it, got to have it. And once you get it, you don't use it. 3 years, I said, man, I'm going to sell this thing. I actually made a few dollars off of it, so it's not totally bad. But most stuff we buy is junk, and nobody's going to give you nothing for it. But I bet you this, that fella, I met him at the hospital in Waycross, Georgia. He picked that thing up. He looked at it just like I looked at it. I guarantee you, that was about 4 or 5 years old, years ago. I guarantee it's been sitting in his closet ever since. The guy met me in a FedEx truck, throwed it up in there. I'm like, wow. I wouldn't be caught dead in a FedEx truck with a plate carrier, man. You're a terrorist. You get arrested. Cop ride by and see that terrorist attack in progress. But at any rate, you understand what I think I've got my message across to you this morning. Seducing spirits. It's your spirit. I'm not saying there's no demonics involved. The devil's right there in the verse. I'm not saying there's no evil spirits, but how are you going to deal with evil spirits when you don't have control of your spirit? Lord, we do thank you for your goodness and for your grace. And Lord, I pray you'd help us because we're all sinful. We're all subject to these things. And we're all at least in the line of fire of these things. And I pray, God, you'd help us. Some of us, not myself, but some of us are more disciplined than others. And I thank you for those folks who can be disciplined. And then again, discipline can be a seducing spirit. Lord, in this very chapter, I didn't get to it. But maybe we'll get into it a later date, Lord. But in this very chapter, it talks about men that are forbidden other people to marry. And just different, abstain from meats. There's an aspect of a seducing spirit that includes people that are disciplined. But I do thank you, God, for disciplined folks who are able to withstand some of these things, maybe better than myself or some of us. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to recover ourselves, not just from the snares of the devil, but some of the snares we've set for our own selves, our selfishness, our thinking of ourselves first and others second or last. And Lord, I pray you would do great and mighty things. Just use your word, God, to temper us, to help us, to sustain us, to make us wiser, to help us make better decisions, to think of those that we affect before we make a decision, and to realize, God, that if we don't get everything that we want, Lord, better things are down the road for us. And Lord, I didn't get everything that I wanted as a child or as a teenager or even as a full-grown adult. I've not gotten everything that I wanted, but you've always proven to me down the line that there's something better. And Lord, even sometimes, Lord, that something better is nothing in the place of the thing that I wanted. Just don't need some things. Don't need to be associated with some things. And some emotions are better not even felt. And I pray, oh God, you'd help us in these things. Strengthen us, give us strong spiritual minds, God, that we'd be able to follow you and be able to accomplish the work that you left us here to do. And I will thank you and praise you for all that you do for us. It's in Jesus Christ's name that we ask these things. Amen.